Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into another episode. Today it's your grandma Diggs, and we are here with the gorgeous Amina Please.
Hello.
We are so happy to have you here today, guys. Amina is a content creator extraordinaire. What title do you want to go by? Because I know you're like a faith creator, like a creator of faith. Like, how do you, what do you, what do you, what you introduce yourself?
Right. I usually say like I'm a faith led creator, like in general. So that way it's like everything that I do is kind of like led with that. So beauty, fashion, lifestyle, all the things.
Killing it in every facet. I have so many things that I'm like so excited for this episode to get in, because I'm an avid viewer of your content. So I'm like, yes, we got her. Like, I have so many questions to ask you, and I'm sure that there are a lot of your followers that are listening to this episode also want to know. First, obviously, I want to start with, well, okay, this is like my dying question to ask, and it's so silly, but I thought it was so amazing this December that you went to Sierra Leone instead of Ghana, because I just felt, or Nigeria, I'm Canadian, so obviously I'm biased. What was that, like, what drove that? Because I just feel like there's so much FOMO in, like, everyone's going to Ghana, everyone's going to Nigeria. Yeah. And you were just like, no, thank you. I'm going to my home.
Yes.
So could you tell me a little bit about that? Why you did that? Like, why you felt like that was the best decision for you? And like how you fought that FOMO? Because I need a little bit of help there.
Yeah. No, 100%, girl. That, first of all, when I posted the first, like, I'm going to Sierra Leone, people were in me because I called it Dirty December, but I guess Dirty December is something reserved for Nigerians in Ghana, because they were like, that's not dirty. We don't want to go, you see, go into your hometown. So I was shook. But I decided, of course, because the last time I was in Sierra Leone, I was probably like 4 years old. I lived there for like 3 years, and there was no way I was going back after all these years and not going to my hometown. Like, my parents, my grandparents, all my family that was living there would look at me funny like, girl, what do you think this is?
You're tweaking. They're gonna be like, girl, you're tweaking.
I know I had to miss out on a lot, because I was like, oh no, I want to go here, I want to go to Ghana, but I was like, there was no way. So going back was so insightful, and it made me even appreciate, like, now, like, going to Nigeria and Ghana, because there's no way I could go back home and not go actually home and just go for enjoyment. So this year, trust and believe, Nigeria and Ghana are both on that list. But
I've done what I have to do.
Yes.
Thank you. Now
exactly.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Okay, that was like my dying question. Because I'm like, let's say I was a Salone babe. I'm like, bro, like, I gotta go to Ghana too. But it's like, nah, you gotta honor your roots. You gotta
go
visit your family. Uh-huh. And it's like, Ghana and Nigeria are not the only beautiful places in Africa.
No. Sierra Leone is so beautiful too. I'm so happy I got to experience it. And to that might as well. Like, the beaches and everything, they have their own little corner. But now I can safely go there and I won't have side eye.
Yeah. So. That is awesome. Being from Sierra Leone, I know, growing up African, you grew up in the States though. Were you born and raised here?
Okay. Yeah, I was born and raised here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Growing up African in America, as you know, when we grew up, you know, in school, that was not the smoothest. It was rough times. We were called names and bullied. But I would say, how was that, like, growing up a Salone babe? Your skin obviously is so rich, and it wasn't as appreciated then as it is now.
Yes.
So what would you say that was like?
I would say the toughest thing, and that was something I actually had to grow past, because one thing I learned, especially like before finding Christ, because I don't know if I even mentioned this, but I wouldn't say I'm newly saved. I've been saved for the last 2.5 years. Yeah. But before that, I didn't have a relationship with God as well. But trends are one thing that is so inconsistent in this world. Like, when it comes to darkness, any type of appeal, like, I remember when a thigh gap was in sin back then. It was like, what? Why do you have such a big butt? But now it's like, where's your butt? You know what I mean? But that's the same thing with darkness. Like, before, it was so not celebrated. There was just jokes and taunts, and like, you would never find anyone, can't see you in the dark, men don't like you, having to know your preference, having to even be like feel accepted to like someone because you're so scared they won't like you simply because of the shade of your skin was so hard. And like I never saw it until I grew up and I saw how the world shifted when they started, like, especially I feel like Fenty Beauty was one of the most remarkable like beauty industry shifts when they came out with the foundation with 50 shades, right? Before that, it was so rare for brands, like even if you went to Walmart, it would be so bad, like finding your shade or something. But now it's like such a thing, and like I call it like, we call it like reverse racism, where it's like I get more campaigns, more deals now because I am darker, like, and it is a great thing, but at the same time it took a lot from like now them seeing you as something that's important, because we know they don't want to miss the mark now, because that just ends that doesn't go well for any brand these days.
And don't.
But now it's like it's so celebrated that it's almost surreal, because I also learned, going back to Sierra Leone, no one looks at that. No one does. Like, everyone, it's like, this is really something that's deep-rooted in America. And yes. I also grew up in the UK. So it's not as bad there either. Like, in terms of, like, being dark. It's something that is in America mostly, because, like, a lot of people from Africa migrate to the UK before they come to America. So, everyone, it wasn't a thing about being just black British there. It's like everyone knows where they're from. Like, oh, I'm from Ivory Coast, I'm from Ghana, I'm from Cameroon. Compared to the US, where it's like, I'm just African American. And they, it's so sad because it was mostly black people that, even though we are both black, it's like, because you are darker or because of your background, you smell like this because the foods that your mom make and all that. It's a lot deeper, I've learned. But growing up now, I feel like it's kind of weird because it's celebrated in a way because of everything that America's going through. But hey, that celebration does, it gets me the check at the end of the day. I'm not so mad.
Can't be mad at it. It's reparations, baby.
Yes,
honestly,
reparations.
It's reparations. Yes. And I'm going to cash that in. Thank you very much.
Serious.
I love that. So you've grown into loving your skin and being confident and comfortable in who you are, of course, now as this amazing beauty content creator. What are some of the challenges that you face when you are starting, right? Because, like, although it's, like, now it's definitely everybody wants the chocolate girlies, everybody wants the darker hues, but in the beginning of content creation, in the beginning when you started content creating, was that how you felt then as well? Like, were you still super confident, or did you still have to, like, grow into, like, liking yourself on camera and, like, being confident with, like, matching your shades and, you know, doing your face? Like, how did that, what are some of the challenges you faced there?
Okay, one of the biggest challenges I would say still till today in the beauty community, I think it spoke about a lot how harsh the black community are on each other. Like, in terms of, if you're not an expert at doing your hair or makeup, you ultimately should not be posting online. And I feel like that's one thing that the black community still to this day, if you see someone on the internet who may not be showing up as an expert in what they're doing, but they're still doing it, it's just like, the comments are ridicule, they're bashing, they're very harsh. They're very harsh. And I feel like that was one thing I learned from the beginning. So when I first actually made my TikTok, I didn't show my face. Like, I used, my first TikTok videos, I was scared. You wouldn't, I used to do like clothes rework. So I made clothes and I would never show my face. Like, I was scared. And like, just growing up in general, like, other than being dark, obviously I look quite different to everybody else, just in general. So it was always something I was apprehensive about just growing up in school. But I also was confident in like the things that I would do. And it wasn't until I actually like started like being more faith-based online that I started showing my face and everything like that. Makeup-wise, I was like, I always loved fun, creative looks. But the thing is, then this world shifted into like a soft glam, forget 2016 makeup. So I was like, okay, I was trying to shift with it too. But it wasn't until like I really gained that confidence, because people make you feel sometimes, especially as a dark-skinned woman, like, unless you are, one, embracing it 100%, like, bright under eye, for example, people still to this day comment that because they think I hate the color of my skin, that I'm trying to lighten it, but I'm just like, it's just a look that I like, you know?
It's just a vibe.
It's just a vibe, you know? And I'm like, everything else is still my shade except on that, but and it's like, it's just kind of weird, but I feel like to this day, the hardest thing is not being an expert, but still trying. Like, at least literally in the scriptures, it says, like, God loves to see you begin, like, to start the small works. But I feel like sometimes, especially in the black community, it's like, unless you're an expert, please do not. Your lace is lifting. That shade don't match. Like, it's like,
They're gonna drag you. No, they're ruthless. I'm not going to lie. They're gonna drag you.
They're gonna drag you. And like, it's, we look for it too. If we know something is wrong, we know. We go to the comments and we're like, well, we're looking for that one comment because I saw it and you saw it too. And it's like, oh my gosh, but it's hard. But
there will be like actual pages where like a creator will create something and then my messy self will go to the comment section and it'll be like, and the comments will drag you. They'll be like, I know y'all came here. Like, I know y'all came here in the first thing.
I know why
you're
here. Yes, exactly.
I'm like,
I know what, and all of us are like, oh my gosh.
How y'all know? Oh my gosh. No, that joint is really like, I mean, just to the listener, to myself, to you, like, look into yourself first. Like, how are we judging other creators that are showing up? Maybe they're not an expert in whatever it is they're doing, but they're an expert in themselves. And that's what they're teaching, and that's what they're, you know, showing us. And so let them do them. Damn. That is insane to me that you did not post your face at all.
Oh, yeah. I was scared. To this day, I'm still scared. Like, viralness gives me anxiety. Because
really?
The honest truth, and we have to see this from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
Positive videos do great.
Yeah.
Negative videos do better. Like, when it comes to something doing well, there has to be a part of it that people do not like or they do not agree with, and that's why it goes to the, that's why it goes there. So every time I post a video, it's kind of like me a lot, like, and it starts to like get to that other side that's outside of the people who love me and know me. It's like you're kind of putting yourself out there past what you know, what you're comfortable with. And I can only do that because of the grace of God. Because every day I'm like, why do I continue to show up in this space that half the time they love me, but half the time they hate me, you know? But it's the grace of God, because I'm like, it's not for me. Y'all can say whatever, but
yeah. Oh, like, that is a fact. That's a fact. Damn, girl, I'm not gonna lie. You spitting today, girl. Yeah. Okay, so I saw a while ago, we've talked about you being a faith creator, and obviously you said you've been saved for 2.5 years. Yeah. I saw, like, a while ago, I remember seeing a shift in your content, and you were just like, I am deciding to be more bold in my faith and more bold in my content. Like, how, like, okay, this is like a deep dive. Like, how did that, what was the first conviction like to, like, no, I want to post more? Like, what was that moment like? And then I want to know, like, did you fight it? Like, was it a struggle? And like, how are you doing it now? Like, let's get into this whole shebang.
Yeah, that is such a great question. I feel like I love answering this question because I get asked it a lot. As much as people ask me, like, how I grow and stuff, I feel like the most, like, deterrent thing about my content is that I glorify God so much, even though it's not celebrated in the community as much. So when I first got saved, it was before I got saved that I signed with my management. So I signed with Kenson Gray before I even started, like, went full time. I didn't even know what I was doing half of the time. And they had this whole, like, you have to be at 100K on the one platform. I was probably at like 20 or 800. Like, I was just doing my thing. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was kind of like getting on board with them, I didn't understand what it was like to, like, be a full time creator. Mm-hmm. But they gave me like pro tips, because I was a hot girl. Let's just say that. I was a bird, girl. I was a bird.
You was not a bird.
No, I was bird. But online, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I love it because it just shows the grace and mercy
of
God.
The growth, yeah.
Because I didn't know that was the path I was leading down. And even, like, in terms of content creation, so people also don't understand, like, being a bird, girl, is cute. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't get you where you need to go in terms of, like, growth. Because it's not brand friendly. Like, the brand, would you be able to go with Walmart just as much as Target if you're posting that way? So I remember those were my early convictions. Before I even knew God, I was like, okay, I have to make this shift in the way I'm presenting myself online. But it wasn't until I got saved that I was like, there's no way. And we understand this. When you first get saved, you are on fire. Like, literally, you have so much inside of you that you have to get it out. Like,
in
the grace
and
mercy of God, when I first got saved, was unreal. Like, when I tell you, I literally had to speak about Jesus every single second. And I remember just looking at myself online, like, this and that doesn't match. Like, I'm not gonna lie, this doesn't match. And I'm not gonna lie, girl, the first thing I thought was, if I start posting about God online, I won't get brand deals. They're gonna be like, this girl is too, because if you think about it, and I'm gonna say this in the boldest of my heart, because that's what I believe, being worldly does get you a certain amount of followers and stuff easier. Let's say a bikini post. I know that will get me exactly what I need from every like, every comment, but I had to seek my heart and know that, what type of validation am I getting from here? Is it for God? Is it for my audience of one? Or is it for everyone else? What am I doing this for? So my first convictions in terms of like when I got saved on social media was like, okay, I need to, what is inside of me to represent what I'm presenting? And I remember praying like, God, this is going to be for you. This platform has to be for you. I was lost online. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, I don't feel any purpose in this. And like, God gave me that purpose. So I knew I had to dedicate my platform back to him. And if you really think about it, who was I to say the main thing I was praying to God for in terms of social media, he would not be able to bless it because I glorified him. If I was really giving it to him, I could not say, you are keeping me from the thing I'm praying for. I want to be able to sustain myself online. And I'm praying that and I'm saying, well, me presenting you is going to keep me from that. So I had to 100% give it to him. And that just came, it came with hardships. Like, it also did my platform better because less of the male gaze, like less of the, I built a community because there are girls, milk, and having a higher female follower count actually does better monetarily. So I hope girls know that. So the male gaze decreased and I just felt like I can overall be myself. Like the aesthetics are cute, but I'm telling you, being real is what grows your community to a level that's beyond. Like, people like to see good things, but as soon as someone can relate to something, that's when they feel like they can continue to come to you for anything. So that was my hardest hardship, like literally changing the way that I performed online, that I showed myself online, to how I actually felt inside. Yeah. But God did, literally.
Oh, and always. Dang, yeah. I like hearing you talk. I like remember when I first got saved. And I've been saved for like 10 years, I think. But yeah, I mean, only by the grace of God. Like, like there were times where I was hanging on by a thread. So those seasons come and go, but he is super faithful. And so I feel like I remember that season and like that, like it was easier experiencing it when I was like 18. Well, how old was I when I got saved? Like 21, I think.
Because
you're a little bit younger, so your community is an understanding of you changing a little bit because you're young. So you're just changing in general. But you're a little bit older. You're like in your mid-20s, right?
Yeah.
So like, I can imagine that just being like, you know, everybody's around you like, girl, what's all this? Like,
exactly.
We are who we are. You know, like we know ourselves. Like this, where did this switch come from? Like, so for you to be able to switch up and just really serve the Lord fully in your real life and then let it reflect online where you have this massive following is like, glory be to God, but kudos to you as well for listening to the call and honoring the call, because girl, it is not freaking easy. It's not easy even when it's just your small circle of friends. So imagine getting online and being like, okay y'all, I know I said, but this is really all that stuff I was talking about before, I did not mean that.
This is what I mean.
So I am super, super proud of you. And I'm so happy that you have like Kensington. Shout out to Kensington.
Yeah.
Just being able to still market you and not faulting you for being a Christian and really pushing you in your faith and just supporting you in your faith is really what I'm going to say. So shout out to Kensington, because I know Toronto Shay, that's my girl. Yeah. Shout out to her. She's amazing. Kensington is ran by a Black woman.
Yeah.
And they support creators of color. And so, period. I love, you know, from a Black woman to a Black woman.
We love you.
my next question for you is, obviously you share a bit of your life on social, but you share like enough, but not, like not everything. I'm like that too, right? Yeah. It's like, You know I have a baby, but you're not gonna see my son's face. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna know nothing really about him, but you know he exists. Yes. You know, and he's very much there.
Yes.
How do you maintain privacy in your like personal life? Because I remember seeing one of your TikToks, and they were like, "Hold on, I think you were holding like your partner's hand," and they were like, "When you get one of those?"
Yes.
How do you manage just like, you know, sharing parts of your life with your audience and not sharing other parts, but like still being really transparent, because I feel like you my homegirl when I watch your content, like I feel like I know you.
Yeah, I feel like the most important thing for me is safety, like especially because we live in a world where we think we know everyone who watches us, but that is just not the reality. True. Especially like as much as you are private, there are opportunities for anyone to be able to see your things, especially in the amount we share. So like when it comes to like even relationships and all those type of things, I feel like establishing that before was really important, especially because my partner and I are both like kind of in the world in terms of what we do career-wise, but keeping God centered, we just wanted that to be something that we kept for ourselves so that no one could come and plan and do all these different things. Because I feel like the people out there could be a lot. And even when they start to get there, they think they have some conspiracy theories. It's just like, please shut it down. Because no, safety is really important to us and important to me. But I feel like God also, like we need to share, but also know there's a time and place to share. Yes. It doesn't have to be everything. Because it's scary how involved people think they can get into your life when you share a little bit. They start to say, oh, where's this? Where's that? And it's just like, safety is really important to me. So that's above everything.
I am in agreement with you on that for sure. I just did a video on my Instagram page talking about like Jackie Aina and just like how everyone is just always like, you know, just like dragging her. Well, not everyone, because she's amazing. And there, she has a lot of freaking supporters. I being one of them. I'm sure you are too.
Yes.
So,
yes, ma'am.
But I often feel like people's thought with her, right, is that she has hard boundaries.
Yes.
And she will not, under any circumstance, let anyone cross them. No. And I feel like when Black women have boundaries,
yes,
people are uncomfortable with that. It makes you either like mean or strict or you're not nice. But it's no, I just have my boundaries. So I think that's really awesome that you put in place these boundaries for yourself and you stick to them, because the internet is ruthless and they really do feel like you owe them all this information.
Yes. You'll be surprised. There are certain people, if I was to share something and not put a link, it's like I'm purposely keeping something from them. Like my entire life does not have to be linked. Like it's actually kind of crazy. Entitlement grows the more you share, but you have to keep these people in check. Like this is great, but hey, let's be real. I'm a real person. I'm not just a link in bio. So
Dang, that has to be hard, like as a content creator, because you are a real person with real feelings, and people will just be like, hey, where's the link? And it's like, good morning.
Exactly. How are you? Like,
I would be so mad.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your brand trip.
Oh, yes.
I was so inspired. Oh, my gosh. I know. I think there was a little bit of controversy, because there's just always controversy with Black creators doing anything, but I know there's specifically controversy with Tarte. I know you spoke about why you're going on why you went on the trip, so I don't even want to really get into that, because if anyone has any questions, they can go to your TikTok and watch the video on why you went on the trip. But I loved seeing you and the Oddity. I don't know her. I only know her at.
Yeah.
But I just loved seeing you guys take up space on that trip. I loved seeing you excited on the PJ. I just loved seeing like your Black girl joy. Like, I'm just like, you deserve experiences like this. Like, can you tell us like your highlights from the trip, what you learned, like maybe like your high and your low from the trip?
Of course. Yes, first of all, tripping with Tarte is always an experience. We understand that. And my highest highs was obviously to obviously have the opportunity to be put in this place. I feel like my biggest learning lesson from that trip is, one, you have to listen to yourself. Like, before you seek guidance with people, because people are always going to have their opinions. People were telling me left, right, and center, like, go, don't go. You never have this opportunity again. Yeah, especially, like, peers, like, people that I love and I respect their guidance. But all in all, it came down to a decision of it between me and God. Like, I was like, I had to sit down and really think about why I wanted to go on this trip, because I knew Tarte was a brand that had controversy, but I also had to know for myself if it's something I wanted to be a part of. Because regardless, I accepted or declined, it would have also made a mark. So I say that in a way, like if I was to decline, it shows a specific type of person, that redemption is impossible. And that goes against what we believe as Christians, that and done, you mess up, you're done. Like, don't contact me. So if my no would have weighed a lot more than my yes, because it would have showed I'm a type of person that does not believe that people can do better, that people can learn from their mistakes, which is what ultimately Christ did for us in dying, is that we're able to now live and know that what we do can be recounted and we can start again. So me saying yes was super important because I was able to experience things I feel like I would have never experienced, like going to Bora Bora on a private jet and staying in the Four Seasons on the hut at Kim. And like, it was just unbelievable. It was unreal. Like, and they treated us so amazingly. Like, I can't even begin to explain. And I was able to meet and obviously be with the founder, Maureen, and actually see her as a person compared to like all the things that's happened. I'm so blessed to be able to be a part of that, because it also just showed me like online is not real. Like, this was a person who saw where people might have saw that she faulted and wanted to change. Like, that is so different to like even CEOs that we don't even get to meet, that don't even care about us as consumers, but somebody who was like, okay, I see where I may have lacked, but I want to make up for this in the best way possible. Yeah. And being there with Sophie, it was amazing. Like, oh, like we were having a time.
Y'all and look like
felt
it.
Good. Yes, it felt good to be able to just like let loose and not care what anyone on the internet said, and just like celebrate our space and our opportunities, because it is a major opportunity like that not everyone gets. So it also, I knew it would inspire a lot of people who look up to me to know, like, I wasn't a person that would literally say no because of what other people would think. I wanted to take that chance and say, well, I wanted to that yes to go further than my no. So it was
Dang, I love that. And I love redemption, the story of redemption in this, because, girl, I be like, sometimes I'm a stickler with different brands and just different. I be like,
never again. You're not getting my coin.
You're not getting my coin. But it's like, that's just, as Christians, as sad as it is, that's just not who we're called to be, especially with Easter Sunday just passed and Resurrection Sunday just passed. I'm like, what Jesus experienced, and this has nothing to do with heart in general, like, what Jesus, the story of redemption, like, what Jesus experienced just so that we could have redemption, it's like, you know, we could give people a little more grace. A little bit more grace, No, for sure. So, I want to know what advice you would give to like young women, especially those in underrepresented backgrounds. So like my African girlies, my dark skin girlies, my girlies that, you know, were born here, not born here, that aspire to succeed in the beauty and fashion content creator space. Like, what advice would you give them? Like, your one tip.
Yes, my one tip. My one tip would definitely, like, I feel like all the advice always sounds very cliche, but I would always say, like, stick to what you believe in. It's so, inspo is so important, but there's nothing like your touch, your signature thing, the thing that you continue to do, because as much as people, it seems like everyone is an overnight success, but every single person that I've seen that grows and like even inspires me, it's like they continue to do the same thing over and over, regardless if people liked it or didn't like it. So I would say, like, God has given all of us spiritual gifts, and that is the point of the internet. Like, the point of sharing your testimonies online is to inspire. So you're already doing it in your day-to-day life. You are doing it. If you tell your mom, don't buy that, you're influencing her. So know that you have that spiritual gift. We all do. And sharing that online in your way is just another way that you can exemplify God and his creativeness. So stick to what you're doing. Do not stop. Do not let anyone dim your light. And you got this.
Period. Yeah. I have two more questions for you. Actually, one more question. So, two more questions. Okay. So my last question is, like, what's next for you? Like, you know, you are in the faith, beauty, and content creator space. I know you had your event. Remind me the name.
Curators in Christ.
Curators in Christ. Curators in Christ. Like, what's next for Amina?
Oh, I got so much planned, because as much as I love, love, love content creation, I will always love that. That will always be my first love. I love beauty, but I feel like sometimes beauty has also been a big shield for me, because as much as I love sharing my tips and tricks, like, I'm not, like, beauty has never been my calling. Like, I like doing my makeup and I like to show, but I do the same makeup, I do the same thing. And I feel like it's just the way that I've distracted myself from my true purpose. I love connecting with women and, like, just sharing opportunities and all those things. So I'm just super excited to, like, get more into God. I've been distracting myself with the clothes, with the glam, and all those are great, and it's all my calling, but I'm like, I know God has called me for so much more. So I definitely want to do more events, more just things that will be able to empower women, empower people around the world, have people feel seen. So I'm super excited to just get more into that, speaking engagements, traveling, doing all the things.
Yeah. No, that is awesome. And we are excited to see you everywhere. This is my final question. So what is something about you that people don't see when they first meet you, but you love everyone to know?
Oh, I feel like, well, first of all, I feel like the glory of God radiates through me. I try to be like, the light that's shining in me will continue to shine through me as I meet people. So I hope that people can feel the goodness of God when they encounter me or see me. Before I even speak, in the way that you wave, in the way that you smile at someone, people know that there's something that is rooting for you and God is always going to be there for you as a constant. But I feel like something that I would love people to know is, I'm always going to link it back to God. I'm sorry. It's literally the glory of God. Like, I can't begin to fathom what it was like for me to know, especially not growing up saved or knowing the goodness of God, to know that your life, my life has no meaning without Christ. Like, all of this would have meant nothing. So for people to know the goodness of God, and for me not to even be able to speak, for me to just step in a place and people like, what was that?
I see something.
Yes, the radiance of God to be radiant. This is amazing. To just be shining. That's what I want. Like, I don't even want to talk. I just want to... And it's God. Yes. It's God. Yes.
And that's real. Like, you know, that's how I got saved?
Yeah.
I had this one friend. And, I mean, there was just something about her. Like, I just could not put my finger on it. Yes. But I was like, there's something about this girl, and I need that.
Yeah.
And for some strange reason, we went to school together. For some strange reason, we ended up working together that summer. Like, we just ended up working at the same hotel. Like, we were in high school. And she just, like, I was like, bro, what is it? And, like, that was back when, I don't know if you know who Heather Lindsay is. But
I think so.
She's like a woman of God that has like this platform called Pinky Promise. But back then, I sound like a woman.
Back in the day.
No, but back then, like, Pinky Promise and Heather Lindsay, like, she was like Sarah Jakes. You know Sarah Jakes?
Mm-hmm, right. Of course,
Heather Lindsay was like Sarah Jakes before Sarah Jakes.
Jakes.
No shade, no tea. So she was like, I have this app that I look at every day. Like, every day it's like a devotional, so you should download it. And ever since I downloaded that app. Ever since then, I just got to know God more and more. I got saved. So I really love that that is the first thing that you want people to see when you walk in the room. And I believe that it is the first thing that people see when you walk in the room. Because, I mean, there is something about the, like, just like the radiance of God. It's a true thing, though. It is a real thing. And that is how I got saved, just by seeing how passionate this girl was about Christ. And, like, I was like, I'm just like, she just looked like a, like, I really hate to say this, but she really looked like a Proverbs 32 woman. Like, before I knew what it was, I was like, there's something about her. I want that.
Thing. Yeah.
Like, whatever that is, I want it in me. And I feel like now I got it.
You got it. And it's so real. And I feel like sometimes we doubt it, but I feel like you don't understand. Before you can even preach at someone, we are walking Bibles. We are walking disciples. The way that we live our lives is just as much able to bring people to Christ before we talk to them. I had to have people, like, it just comes from your smile, from your radiance, from the fact that you're able to forgive, the fact that you have the fruits of the Spirit actually bearing in your life. Yes. People see Jesus, and people will commit to God through that before you can even tell them about anything. And that's it. That's the glory of God.
Period. Mic drop. Thank you so much, Amina, for joining me today. This has been a wonderful conversation. Yes. I appreciate you so much. I want you to share all your socials. Yes. I think it's Amina, please, but you share it. Yes. Let everybody yes. know where they can find you and any last words that you have, and then I will close out.
Yes. So obviously, you guys, thank you guys so much for this. Thank you to Mo, who is killing it out here. She shows me what it is to be a woman that can do it all. Mother, author, podcast, fashion. Okay. But yeah, you guys can follow me, of course, at Amina Please everywhere on TikTok, Instagram, all the things YouTube. I hope you guys have a blessed day. And yeah, I love you.
Thank you, Amina. And thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode. Make sure you guys follow Amina and also follow the at Accountable with Mo podcast Instagram page and me at Mo Digga with 2 E's and 3 G's. Alrighty, bye guys. Bye. Okay, I'm gonna stop recording.